Now we're going to be going to the phone. Ambassador Tibor Nyes Jr. is with us this morning, and we're going to get his take on what's happening with the Iranian nuclear situation. I'll tell you what, man. These people over there they're always playing a game. They're always saying one thing, doing another. They're trying to meet the minimum requirement. It's not healthy for the world, is it?
Well, remember, they've been at this game for over 3,000 years. And so they've had a lot of experience in lying and being duplicitous, much more than we've had.
Yeah.
Okay. We're learning fast, though, aren't we?
We're trying. Yeah. Especially in the politics.
Yeah.
So what's your take on this? I mean, well, relatively speaking, because I know that, you know, things really haven't gone as put forth and planned. I don't think we have unfettered access. I don't think, you know, the inspection process or the process of destruction of weapons is going as, you know, was promised, as was thought. So we've got the sanctions in place. I mean, it's a big squeeze. You know, who are the real players in this, and what are the underlying motives?
Well, the underlying motives now are that everybody's ready to make a deal. The Iranians have been squeezed really hard. They have a new regime that really wants to show their people something. The Europeans are very eager to get back in the game of selling stuff to the Iranians. And the Americans very much want to have a much more stable Middle East. The Obama administration is desperate for some kind of a success after the recent fiasco. So I think you're getting that all the planets lined up to where everybody's ready for a deal. The only ones, of course, left out are the Israelis, who are, you know, just viscerally against any deal because they feel an existential threat. And the Saudis are right there with the Israelis because they don't like the idea of the United States making up with Iran.
Well, at the end of the day, Saudi Arabia, they don't really play in our sandbox. They're not our friends.
No, we have common interests. We're certainly not, we're not natural friends or allies. They peddle a totally different philosophy than what we're, what we favor. I mean, we needed them for a long time for oil, and they needed us to protect them from the communists. And now the mutual interests are not nearly as strong as they used to be with our huge energy fines domestically.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. Relative to the economic sanctions, what exactly are we sanctioning Iran with? I mean, what's really putting the big squeeze on them? Is it just trade across the board or what?
Well, it's fairly well targeted, but it's also fairly well across the board. We prevent them from depositing money overseas. We've frozen a lot of their assets. They're due quite a bit of money for oil that they've already sold when we slap the sanctions on. They really can't sell their oil on the open market. They have to do it through intermediaries. We're keeping an awful lot of imports from getting to them. So the Iranian people have really suffered, and that's why, Iran at the end of the day is more of a democracy than a lot of our friends. And their population is really putting the news to their government that let's get past this, because it's a highly educated population. I mean, Iran is, as I like to say, it's one of those real countries out there.
Right. Now, in the end analysis, this whole thing is really about money.
Yeah.
Now, relatively speaking, we're wanting oil, and we import oil from the Middle East.
Realistically, yeah, we also import a lot of oil from West Africa, remember.
Yeah. Now, realistically speaking, it has been said that if we had more leases that were available here in America, that we're actually sitting on some of the richest oil deposits on the face of the planet. How does that really play out there? I mean, can we not just be more independent?
Well, I'm sure we could, but at the end of the day, I mean, the global energy companies have very sophisticated formulas as to what is the ideal situation you know, to get the oil from here or there. So at some point when getting that oil becomes economically feasible, I'm sure that the needle will tilt in that direction. Until then, it's probably much more feasible for them to bring the oil from overseas. But remember, an awful lot of the oil that passes through the Straits of Hormuz, you know, that's off Iran, is actually destined for China and for India.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really destined for, I mean, you know, people need to realize that what's happening in effect is that our warships are there to protect the oil tankers which are going to China and India.
Right.
Not necessarily coming to us, because for us it's a lot easier to get our oil from Nigeria and from Angola.
Hmm.
This may be a little bit off base and a little different angle, but, you know, recently we had the suspension of, you know, these two naval admirals as far as possibly, you know, giving classified information about movements of ships and things like it. Is any of this affected with these guys?
I don't think so.
Okay.
No, I don't think so. I mean, you know, as large a military as we have and as large an officer corps, I mean, there's always going to be some kind of fiddling going on, whether it's in contracts or, unfortunately, in a disclosure of classified information. But no, I don't think so.
Okay. All right, Ambassador Nice, appreciate you joining us this morning. Thank you so much for calling in.
You bet. Thanks a lot, guys. Have a great day.
You have a fantastic day.